The fun with us with the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center. Evelyn Lees, good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Leslie. In the backcountry, we have a solid moderate avalanche danger. We've got two avalanche problems we're dealing with. The first are the wind slabs that got created on Monday. And so up along ridge lines, down into open bowls, there are some hard wind drifts, and people can still trigger them. They're a little less sensitive than they were over the last few days. But if you find yourself on something hard, realize you're on a wind drift. And also there's some hard cornices that you're going to want to stay way back from the edges. The other more variable and less predictable problem are the persistent slab avalanches that can be triggered. These are weak layers of facets in the snowpack, both in the mid snowpack and near the ground, and in isolated places they can be triggered by a person and the slides will be big. So avoid those steep, shallow, rocky, wind drifted terrain, and realize with the sun and recent winds you're still going to find the best and safer skiing and riding conditions if you head to low angle wind sheltered slopes with nothing steep above you.
Okay, Evelyn, thank you. Well, for those attending yesterday's Park City School Board meeting, what many thought was to be a decision on the school start times, in the studio to kind of address that and some of the other issues is Business Administrator Todd Hauber. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
Just wanted to make a mention that we did invite board members, but it was pretty sparse. You had J.J. Ehlers and Aaron Grady in the boardroom, and then Petra on the phone.
Yeah,
so why not just cancel the meeting, or you had business to take care of?
We did have business to take care of. We have a consent calendar. There were positions that needed to be hired. There's financial reports that need to be adopted and things of that nature. So it was great that Petra was able to call in for that first hour and get the kind of the preliminary business out of the way, and then stayed for the presentations. So it works. You know, we publish our meetings, we hold our meetings. If we don't have a quorum, we can't make votes, but we still have topics to discuss.
Sure. Well, let's talk about start times. There are texts apparently being sent out. In fact, I received one. Now people describing these as fake news. But the one I received said that the current proposal is for Ecker Hill Middle School, Parley's Park Elementary School, and McPoland to start at 8:30. End at 3:20, and then that Treasure Mountain, Park City High School, the Learning Academy, Trailside, and Jeremy would start at 9:20. Is this not what's being proposed?
So the challenge for yesterday was we're in the middle of our budget conversations, and changing the start times has significant costs associated with it. Operational costs in excess of $600,000, capital costs in excess of $2 million. So that's the largest single ticket item on our budget conversations. So the board wanted to take up that conversation yesterday and continue the conversation. It wasn't a decision. It was just, let's make sure we understand all the parameters and aspects of this. So what you've described is one of the proposals in that scenario. That scenario is designed to accommodate the traffic load that we're seeing on 248. So having the high school start after 8:30, after 9 o'clock even, to get over the peak on 248 is what we were looking at. So that was really a primary driver in that scenario, is how do we avoid the traffic, not add to it, and still be able to bring the students in on time to school.
So did the board pass a motion then to push back a decision on start times?
No, so there's a current motion by the board from June that says that we need to put together the implementation plan for this coming August, so the coming school year. So that's the full expectation, is that we'll have something worked out that's doable. The discussions now are looking at that implementation, saying, you know, do we still like this implementation? Does it work the way we expect it to? But there's not at this point, there's not a decision to retract that. It's just, how do we make it work?
All right. And we've put kind of a placeholder in the budget then to make that happen?
Correct. Yeah. So we've gone and costed out the scenarios and said, this is what works given the traffic patterns, the delivery of students, maximizing the route patterns that we have, not putting more on than we need to. We have to put some more on, but not any more than we need to. And so that's what we're looking at.
So we still got a number of meetings on this to vet out those different options?
Yeah, March 6th is the next board meeting. I'm sure that we'll get into those options even more deeply and making sure that we understand all the impacts.
Yeah, the school board heard from a Park City Education Association representative saying that teachers are opposed to the decision being made without their input and without proper notification. So will they get that notification and
So we've been talking about it for 2 years. Obviously, this is not a new topic as we're coming into it. We're getting into the implementation phase. We're having conversations at the building levels. We're working with the administrators and discussing what those impacts are. One of the documents out on Board Docs, you can go take a look and see what that feedback is as we're trying to determine implementation. So we're trying to keep that open and available for everyone to see.
There was also public comment yesterday, I think from the PCA, that KPCW has erroneously reported that the tax increase going into effect for next school year was solely to cover the cost of teacher salary increases. I think I've tried to be very clear that the tax increase is for all of the salary increases, including certified, classified, and administrative. What else does a tax increase need to be? What else would that tax increase cover?
So we were looking at, we had brought on 27 positions for this school year. So there's the long-term impact of those decisions. And we were also looking at what additional positions we would need coming into this next school year. So we were doing some forecasting and saying, oh, we probably need another 5 positions based on staffing this year. So there are positions and there is compensation. Those are the two main drivers in this scenario.
And just to be very clear, all of these positions are not teachers.
Correct.
About 7 of them are, I think, for the coming
That's
year.
That's correct.
Out of
yes.
the 27?
Good memory.
Okay. You also heard from resident Jim Tedford asking the school board to provide whatever support students might need about this whole gun violence issue. He was wondering what the school board thought about teachers having guns to protect students. Did the board even have this discussion, or will they?
So we've received the input. It was well received. I think we're working with our consultant on security and safety at the schools, and so I'm sure that will be a topic that gets into that conversation. At this point, we've been focusing on the perimeter itself, you know, the fencing, the front entranceway of the building, securing doors. So that's where our focus has been right now. I'm sure we'll take up other security measures as time advances.
But no acknowledgement that the school board would make a statement and clarify their position on the
issue?
At
this point, I don't have any signals that way.
All right. You brought up the maintenance and operations budget. Not enough board members present, I think, to justify going through all of the categories. So you'll do that next week?
Correct. Yeah, we'll get into in-depth on that.
All right. You did mention a couple of big expenditures. Turf on Dozier Field, it's been delayed for a number of years, waiting for the high school expansion. We're talking about maybe a couple different options there. Heated turf, that think that maybe the turf lasts longer?
Yeah, so what we experience is we use the field all year through, and so when we have snowstorms and weather of that type, we need to plow the field. And there's damage, or there's wear and tear, I guess I should say, on the field and trying to maintain it to that capacity. So there is that option to look at the snow removal in a way that doesn't cause that kind of wear and tear. And so we're able to get the full useful life out of the field and maybe stretch it a couple of years.
Yeah.
So options to look at.
Yeah, I guess that those costs, though, would be the cost of the turf would be offset by the heating bill?
Correct. Yeah, over time, yeah.
So it's really about the same, and I guess just less in the landfill.
Correct.
Yeah. The other big project delayed is a retaining wall at Parley's Park. What is this? We're talking about $500,000 for something here?
Yeah, so if you've been over the Parley's Park, the parking level is above where the school level is on that west side of the school. So there's a retaining wall to support the parking lot area. And we've kept our eye on that for a number of years. It's a block construction. And it's just getting to the end of its useful life as well. And so we want to make sure that we keep that area safe for the children as they're playing around the school.
Okay. Master planning, we've got a request for proposal closing today. Any idea how many have been submitted to date?
I asked that last night. Our experience is everybody submits their bid about 15 minutes before the deadline. So as of last night, I hadn't seen anything. I've had a number of questions and comments coming in from different vendors seeking clarification. So I know there's interest out there. 2 o'clock is when it closes, so I'll hope to see everything show up by 2.
And how much have we budgeted for this master planning consultant?
So at this point, we had set in the larger capital budget, we have about $5 million set aside for the remodels and redesigns that we had working first with the high school and then a 5-6 type solution. Those dollars will just flow into this contract as we continue that conversation.
Okay, and this consultant is one of how many that we have hired in the last year or so?
Oh, with regards to just construction or just
consultants?
Yeah. We're probably at half a dozen on different topics, from, you know, the superintendent search. We've had that consultant. We've had consultant for transportation modeling as we look at the two Bell systems. I've just gone blank. I think there's about six or seven.
Yeah. Okay. Todd, anything else you wanted to mention from last?
Appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Todd Hauber, again, is the business administrator for the Park City School District. KPCW News Time now, 8:28. First, want to bring on Tim Quinn, state representative representing Wasatch County and Park City Municipal. We've got just about 7 days left in this year's legislative session. Lots of activity there. Tim, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Leslie, for having me. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. So real quick, your bill to eliminate sales tax food was approved. Any tweaks to that?
No tweaks. It did pass the House 42-27. I had a difficult time in finding a Senate sponsor for that bill, but I did get one late last night. We were up at the Capitol until almost 11 o'clock, and I have Senator Escamilla, one of the Democrats from Salt Lake, who's going to run that bill in the Senate for me. So, to be honest with you, I don't have much hope for it in the Senate, but we are going to give it our best shot.
Yeah. How much would we see sales tax increase to make up the difference there in the loss from the food tax?
0.22%. So what that means in dollars is that for every $1,000 you and I spend on a non-food item every month, we would pay $2.20 difference.
Let's talk a little bit about education funding. Where are we with this, and where are you leaning? We have heard maybe a 3% increase in the WPU.
That was the initial figure that we were told back before the session started. We have received some additional new revenue that I don't know if I'll say it was unexpected, but it wasn't in our initial estimates. So I don't know where the number is going to fall out, but I would think it would be a minimum of 3%. And some of us are hoping that it'll be a little north of that.
Right, because I think it was like $580 million in revenues that are coming to the state.
It's 563 plus an additional $80 million, which won't hit until fiscal 2020 due to the federal tax reform. Many of the working families, $30,000 to $70,000 with kids, are going to see an increase in their state taxes, and that's an additional $80 million. So we're really pushing $640 million.
Yeah. We've also got some equalization bills in the process. Any of those making it through?
Representative Last in the House and Senator Fillmore in the Senate each have their own version of the equalization bill. Both have passed, well, let me rephrase that. Senator Fillmore's, I believe, has passed the Senate. Representative Last has passed the committee in the House, but hasn't gone to the full floor. We're still in forth in caucus about which of those proposals, if any, that we will approve. Some of them have to do with a property tax increase, which I am not in favor of, not in a year where we have that much new revenue, $560 or $640 million. Senator Fillmore's looks at income tax and just redistributes it. And Leslie, my two districts, Park City District and Wasatch School District, both will be penalized for either one of those current proposals.
Right. What about any changes with liquor laws? I saw that a House committee will allow restaurants to take down the signs saying this is a restaurant, but the ones notifying people that they're walking into a bar have to remain?
I don't know about the signage because, honestly, that was not my concern. My biggest concern, and I've been working on this since early in the fall, working with the majority leader, Representative Wilson, who sponsored the bill last year. There are many dining clubs, primarily, in Park City on Main Street and Heber Street, which some of them it's impossible for them to comply with what we passed last year because of the nature of their buildings. The historic buildings are 23 feet wide. So I've been working with Representative Wilson consistently, almost to the point where I'm annoying him, I think, to say, Brad, we've got to do something to not pull the rug out from underneath these people who many have invested their life savings and taken second mortgages out on their homes to pay for their establishments. I've not seen the details, but I've been told that there is a workout for those areas or for most of those areas that cannot comply or have a very, very expensive bill to comply. I've been told there's a workout. I'm anxious to see the details. But I think, this is what I've been told, is that most of the dining club owners in Park City are going to be very, very pleased with the outcome.
Okay. Let's talk a little about the bill that would ban plastic bag bans. As you know, Park City has instituted a plastic bag ban for a couple of the larger supermarkets here. And feel like it's a great thing. And, you know, we've finally got people on board bringing their own bags. How do you feel about this proposal?
So I didn't realize there was even a proposal until about a week and a half ago. I believe it was the assistant city manager, Matt Dias, who called me and said, Tim, are you familiar with Senator Buxton's bill? And I said, no. So he told me about it. Here's what I told Jay Hamburger from the Park Record back in June of last year. He called and said, Representative, you're aware that Park City just passed an ordinance banning plastic bags? I said, I am. He said, are you in favor of the ban? I said, I'm not. He said, well, it's understood that you're going to run legislation to ban the ban. And I said, that's not true. He said, well, what if one of your colleagues runs a bill? Will you support it? And I said, absolutely not. And Jay kind of laughed at me, and I said, Jay and I have a good relationship. I said, Jay, what are you laughing at? He said, well, that's not who you're supposed to be up here. We thought you were something different. I said, well, I ran on one of my things that I ran on was that the federal government ought to stay out of the lives of Utah citizens as much as possible. It would be disingenuous of me to go to Salt Lake and say, okay, I don't want the federal government telling us what to do, but I feel very comfortable telling Park City or any other city what they should do. Now, there are political subdivisions. There are times the state has to get involved with taxing matters and land use matters to some degree, transportation matters. I said, but while I don't support the ban, I support Park City's right to have that ban wholeheartedly, and I'll fight against it. I've already started lobbying some of my colleagues that if this ever makes it to the House, that we vote it down. So I hope I'm successful because it's just government is best that is local, and you guys decided to ban those, and I support that 100%.
Okay. Real quick, I wanted to ask you about your eminent domain bill. Has that been moving forward?
It has. It should be. It's passed. There's four hurdles, House committee, House floor, Senate committee, Senate floor. It's passed three of those four. I believe unanimously in all three. It'll be up on the floor of the Senate either today or tomorrow. Just depends on how fast they get the bills.
And again, this bill would do what?
It helps citizens when eminent domain is used, usually, not always, but usually by UDOT, to take a private citizen's property or partially take their property. This ensures that they're compensated fairly. It takes everything that a willing buyer and a willing seller in a real estate transaction would consider. The government has to consider all those elements as well when they're determining value. So it makes sure that citizens get paid fairly when their property's taken.
Okay. Need to leave it there. We'll check back with you. Thanks, Tim, for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie. Have a great day.
State Representative Tim Quinn, he represents the Wasatch County and Park City Municipal areas of District 54. Okay, just take a couple of minutes here, and I've got Officer Terry Knechtel on the phone with us to tell us a little bit more about the Citizens Academy. Terry, when does this academy start?
It's going to start on May 2nd.
Okay, and registration is open now?
Registration is on the police department's website. That's where the application is. You just download it, fill it out, and bring it by.
Okay, so was it how many weeks long?
About 11 weeks. It's going to be every Wednesday night from 6 to 9 approximately in the evening, and one Saturday class thrown in there.
Okay, and some of the topics that you guys will be going over?
We're going to be doing traffic law, vehicle stops, gangs, graffiti. There'll be a canine demonstration. They'll get a good chance to go take a tour through the jail. And it'll be a SWAT presentation, bring the fire department in.
Okay. And it's just for fun, or, I mean, why is this something that citizens would want to participate in?
This gives them an inside look of what we do, what our profession is, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that have questions of what about law enforcement and what it is we do. Our duties and responsibilities. So just kind of, it's a level of transparency to bring people in and to get a chance to see you know, law enforcement.
Okay. It is free, no cost, correct?
No cost. I have first come, first serve, so the first 15 people that get in the class.
Okay. And again, people do have to agree to a background check. Do you have fingerprint them, or is it just a...
It's a background check. We did just a criminal history. The requirements for the class is on our website, but they have to submit to a background check, no major criminal offenses in their background, that sort of thing.
Okay. And again, that's just at parkcitypolice.org?
That's true. And they can even contact me through the police department. I'm happy to answer any questions anybody has on the class.
Okay. What's that number or email? Or
just go through dispatch at 435-615-5500. And then just ask to be put through to me, Officer Terry Knechtel, and I'll get back to you just as soon as I can.
Okay. Hey, Terry, thanks for your time this morning.
All right. Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate it.